This video is brought to you by Surfshark. All right, I'm on one today. I am pissed off at what MAGA Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump are currently saying about the Iran war as we enter month three. That's right, month three. We were at war throughout all of March. Throughout all of April, we were at war, and now we are about to be entering month three of the war that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump claimed would be 4 to 6 weeks. And guess what? The cherry on top is, as we enter month three of this war, Pete Hegseth just said today, under oath, that the largest adversary we are fighting in this war are the congressional Democrats and some Republicans. He used the same line yesterday, but he testified under oath again today, and he decided to double down on this idea that the largest adversary that they're currently fighting right now in war, not the Iranians, not the bombs, not the drones, not the nukes that they've been fear-mongering about, not even the Russians who are currently invading Ukraine, not the Chinese who we've been tariffing up the ass, no, the largest adversary right now are the congressional Democrats, according to Pete Hegseth. And this one really pissed me off, because the congressional Democrats have been fighting tooth and nail to make sure this war was fought in a just, legal, and constitutional manner. We have seen none of those things. I mean, if Democrats could have it their way, this war wouldn't be fought at all. But after Trump launched it, Democrats worked so hard to put a war powers resolution on the floor and try to reel things in so we have at least some congressional control of what is happening. The Republicans shot it down over and over and over. So as we've been snowballing down the hill, spiraling, and this war has been getting worse and worse, Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump have been increasingly blaming this war, the failure of this war rather, on the Democrats, or on the press, or on people like you and I, just voters who are calling this out. They say that the more we call this war out, the more likely it is that they are going to fail. I'm sorry, but it is reversed. You guys are failing hardcore right now, and the more that you guys fail, the more we'll be calling it out on the media. So make sure you drop a like to help boost this message at a time when Pete Hegseth does not want it boosted. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Ockler feed, and just know that tonight I'll be on CNN Newsnight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. One more time, you can find me on CNN Newsnight debating this issue very likely at 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. So make sure you set your calendar. I'll see you all there. And let's just jump in with the actual problem. Let me show you all what the actual problem here is. Because right now, Donald Trump is sitting in the Oval Office giving a presser, and Pete Hegseth is also testifying. We're going to bounce between these. But this clip right here of a bunch of House Republicans just bursting out into laughter at one of Trump's shitty jokes, I think encapsulates the problem very, very well. You would think it's like Carlin or like Dave Chappelle or somebody like that making the jokes in this room, but no, it's just a bunch of House Republicans who are sycophants and who are laughing, erupting in laughter at Trump's awful, awful joke. Take a listen.
And use this beautiful, see that plane right there? That beautiful B-2 bomber. It looks small there, but it's actually quite large. It looks very powerful there, but it's quite large, actually.
You would have thought George Carlin had just stepped in there and made a joke. How come all the House Republicans erupted with a fake belly laughter for 1 minute? There's no shot it was that funny. Listen.
There, but it's actually quite
large. Man, I need a group that's this loyal to me. Holy shit. Do you think all these guys like shave their legs and take a shower before they go visit Trump in the Oval Office? Or like, okay, we've got to be nice and groomed before we visit Daddy Trump. Either way, sorry for the imagery. Let's return back to MAGA Pete Hegseth. MAGA Pete Hegseth was at the same time testifying in front of Pentagon Budget Committee. As he's testifying, he begins to say, the biggest adversary we currently face in this war, again, not the Iranians, not the Russians, but congressional Democrats and some Republicans who are calling this war out. By extension, he's saying that the media calling this war out are the adversaries. The average American who's calling this war out in Pete Hegseth's mind is making the war harder for them. Take a listen.
Unfortunately, as I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, the biggest adversary we face at this point are the reckless naysayers and defeatist words of congressional Democrats and some Republicans. Defeatists from the cheap seats who 2 months in seek to undermine the incredible efforts that have been undertaken and the historic nature of taking on a 47-year threat with the courage no other president has had to great success and great opportunity.
Okay, if you're complaining about people being defeatist as we enter month three of a war, I'm going to go ahead and take a guess that you're not winning that war. That's really your complaint, BDegSet, that people are being defeatist, that they're talking too much about how this war isn't going our way. How about you address the actual fact that we haven't achieved even one of the goals that Donald Trump laid out? Let's just think about this. When this war started, if we want to be as charitable as possible and at least try to find out what they were trying to do, they said regime change, defanging Iran's nuclear program, and stopping them from funding proxies in the Middle East. Well, first of all, the regime has not been changed. It is still standing. The regime is a very complex faction of former IRGC members and administrators that are working together to make sure the regime is intact. Number two, they still have all of their enriched uranium and the ability to rebuild whatever they need once this tones down because we haven't reached a deal. Number three, they are gaining more money by getting more money through extorting people in the Strait and extorting other countries than they were before. So they can continue to fund proxies in the region even if they aren't at this very moment. Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump have not made any progress with this war. So they're just attacking us. They're attacking the media. And conservatives do this time and time again. Whether it's the never-ending Middle Eastern wars in the 2000s, whether it's Vietnam. During Vietnam, when Walter Cronkite started to say that we're losing this war, conservatives began to blame Cronkite for this war, that war going wrong, when it wasn't his fault at all. Here's Donald Trump in the Oval Office right now, continuing to lie to our faces, saying the country's doing really well. That's despite a military operation. Iran is dying to make a deal, he says. We know that's not true, because Iran ditched when you were trying, they dipped when you were trying to make a deal in Pakistan about a week ago. But secondly, can we just talk for a second about the actual pain that Americans are feeling after I play this clip? Listen to this.
And that's despite a military operation. I don't call it a war. Would you rather have a military operation? We're really, Iran is dying to make a deal. I can only tell you that. I don't. The country's doing
okay.
Real well.
The reason he's not calling it a war is because we're coming up on the 60-day deadline, meaning the war powers resolution has to take effect tomorrow. Congress doesn't have a choice whether or not they want the War Powers Resolution to take effect. Tomorrow, we have to enact the War Powers Resolution. We absolutely have to because we're 60 days in. Donald Trump doesn't want to call it a war because he would be conceding that he is subject to the War Powers Resolution and subject to control of Congress. But number two, let's actually talk about the on-the-ground effects of Americans. We have more clips to play of both Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump. But when it comes to the average American, gas prices are spiking. Diesel prices are spiking, which underlie the cost of everything else. The ACA subsidies have been gutted, so many Americans are struggling with healthcare, but most Americans don't even have affordable healthcare in the first place. So the ACA subsidies did screw over tens and tens of millions of Americans, but healthcare was always a big problem. We also have, on top of that, the tariff tax that the average American is going through. The economy is in the shitter. And here's what Republicans are missing. There are situations where Americans would be willing to make sacrifices in order for national security. If you were to sit down the American people and tell them that in order to protect our national security, we have to go do this. We have to go smack down Russia in this manner, and it's going to be a little bit costly. This is the cost, and this is the return. Many Americans would be rational enough to understand that there are sacrifices we have to make. We did it after 9/11. Weren't most Americans on board because they thought, okay, there are sacrifices we have to make to protect ourselves? But that is not what is happening today. It is actually very, very far from what is happening today. We have an administration that is refusing to even sell this to the American people in a substantive way. And then the on-the-ground results we're getting is not more national security, is not more safety, it's less safety. We are becoming a less safe country, a less safe world, and it's costing us more. So again, if I were to sit you down and say, hey, it's gonna take about like 2% of this, but you get like an 80% increase in safety, most rational beings would say, yeah, we'll do that, sure. But if I were to sit you down and say, hey, the world's gonna become more dangerous and it's gonna cost you a lot of money, why would any American want that? That is exactly what's happening right now.
Real muscle behind our warriors.
Wow, let me replay that one more time. But as Pete Hegseth is speaking, he gets called a war criminal. And I think he actually pauses and kind of revels in it for him. I think he enjoys it a little bit because he's like, look, look, I am the victim here. Look at how crazy you are. I am the victim. When in reality, the heckler is just calling out reality. Maybe the time and the place are a bit off, but he's just saying what he thinks.
Real muscle behind our Warriors.
Further interruptions of our hearing will be treated in like manner. We appreciate.
To continue, in this clip, Donald Trump begins to brag about the Dow being 50,000. Oh my God, we can't be serious.
I want to make a deal, but despite the fact that we are in what some people would call a war, we just hit a new high today on the stock market.
Notice how he's doing this now. He's been calling this a war freely for like months. Now he's all of a sudden saying, you know, some people would call this a war, some people wouldn't.
I want to make a deal. But despite the fact that we are in what some people would call a war, we just hit a new high today on the stock market. We have S&P is through the roof. They're through the roof. And, you know, when we hit 50,000 on the Dow and 7,000 on the S&P, I said to myself, we got to do something about Iran. They want to have a nuclear weapon. You can't let them have a nuclear weapon. And I hated to do it to my people because they said 50,000. Peter, you know this, that 50,000 wouldn't be obtainable in my 4 years or anybody's 4 years. And we hit 50,000 in my first year, the end of my first year. We hit 7,000 on the S&P. They said that would be even less attainable. And we hit that at the end of...
Dude, nobody said that. Like, the stock market growth is not surprising to anybody. It's actually quite normal for the stock market to be always growing and hitting new highs. That's what happens in a capitalistic, growth-based country. But he's just doing a sales tactic right now. Like, maybe I should start doing this to sell myself on, like, dates or something. When I'm on a date with a girl, I should be like, you know, nobody said I'd be able to get this date. Everybody said I would never be able to get this date, but here I am. What do you think? I'm on this date. Like nobody told them that the Dow couldn't hit 50K. It was very foreseeable to anybody who was paying attention to the markets that it would continue to grow and grow and grow. Maybe somebody said if you keep tariffing countries like this, you're not going to be able to hit what you want. But nobody said you're not going to hit 50K on the Dow. Nobody would say that. Why would somebody say that? Here's Elizabeth Warren then just grilling Pete Hegseth on the fact that insider trading has happened within his administration. A really interesting exchange. Check this one out.
My job in all of those moments is to make sure we're prepared. And that's part of the reason why we've been so successful in these raids, in these efforts, is that
so
this joint force is
you're
prepared.
You're saying you're not paying any attention to this insider trading. Is that what you're telling me? That you've paid no attention to this? You haven't noticed it? You haven't done anything about it?
What I'm saying is we're focused on our mission of executing for the American people, and what happens in markets is not, in betting markets is not something we're involved
in. What happens in betting markets doesn't matter to you, even if the information may be coming from insiders in your office?
Senator, it's not something we're involved in at all. And of course, we take operational security at every level very seriously. In fact, no one's taken operational security more seriously than us. If you look at what it required to keep secret Midnight Hammer and Operation Maduro, absolute resolve with Maduro, and the steps we've taken,
so
no one's been tighter about ensuring that operational security is ensured.
With insider trading out of your-
This is what we call pure desperation from this administration. It is dripping off of all of them. The desperation to not talk about the fact that gas prices are spiking and the economy is in the shitter. The desperation to not talk about the fact that the regime is still intact and that we haven't won this war. I mean, watch what happens when Trump gets asked straight up in the Oval Office about gas prices. He tries to shut down the reporter immediately, like it's a forbidden question.
Bad things would happen.
The average price of a gallon of gas is now $4.30 in this country.
And you know what? And we're not going to have a nuclear weapon in the hands of Iran. The gas will go down. As soon as the war's over, it'll drop like a rock. There's so much of it. It's all over the place, sitting all over.
Don't worry, guys. The war's going to be over 4 to 6 weeks from the start date. Oh, what's that? We're already on month 3 now? Okay, but just soon. Have some patience, guys. I promise.
As soon as the war's over, it'll drop like a rock. There's so much of it. It's all over the place, sitting all over the oceans of the world. And it'll go down. But what won't happen is if Iran had a nuclear weapon and used it, Then the whole world is a different place.
Iran is not even farther away from getting a nuclear weapon. Here's the on-the-ground reality. Iran had a bunch of enriched uranium before we started this war, and they still have the enriched uranium now. It's just buried under a bunch of rubble. Now, it'll take time for them to dig it up, but it is by no means out of their reach. It's not in our hands. It's not in Israel's hands. It's not in Oman's hands. It is still in the hands of the Iranians. They just have to dig it up. Number two, we have destroyed their nuclear building infrastructure, but they've saved all of these blueprints, all of the graphics up in the cloud. They still have all of them. They've scattered all of their scientists around the country, and they still have the ability to build a nuclear weapon. Iran is slightly farther away, maybe a few more months, but this leads us to a position where we just have to continue to perpetually strike Iran every 8 months. So to loop this all back around, they're trying to blame you and I and congressional Democrats for their failed war, but we need to make sure we relentlessly hold them accountable and point out who's actually responsible for this. There are currently sirens outside my window. Again, I'm in New York City. I'll be on CNN tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. I'll see you all there. Peace out. All right, I've been telling you all, you have to be using the internet in a safe manner. Surfshark VPN has not only allowed me to use the internet safely while I'm traveling, connecting to hotel Wi-Fi or airline Wi-Fi or cafe Wi-Fi, but it's also changed the way I'm able to interact with media. Like, have you ever gotten hyped to watch a show or a movie and you hit play and you get a message that says this content isn't available in your region? It happened to me a few weeks back, so I flipped on my Surfshark VPN and immediately I can watch Netflix shows and access libraries from dozens of new countries, US, UK, Japan, wherever you can just watch what you want. Surfshark now has servers in over 100 different countries, which makes it the largest, most wide-reaching VPN in the entire world. So whether you're trying to unblock a show, or whether you're trying to protect your internet access, or whether you're traveling and trying to access stuff from your home city, you've got a server you can log into anywhere. The one thing that I really like is that it works on your laptop, your iPad, your smart TV, your fridge, whatever you are, whatever you have, you can connect Surfshark to it. So check out Surfshark. Check out their 24/7 support. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can use it essentially anywhere you want, and it's helpful. Go to surfshark.com/mockler and use code mockler at checkout for 4 months of Surfshark VPN for free. Again, you can get 4 months for free if you click the link below and go to surfshark.com/mockler. Thank you to you all. Thank you to Surfshark.